You've eaten Gotham's wealth, its spirit, but your feast is nearly over.
This is not my home. It's an operating table. And I'm the surgeon.
Why aren't you laughing?
From this moment on, none of you are safe.
Welcome to the Batman Book Club, a podcast exploring the Dark Knight Library. I am your host, Ryan Lauer. The Batman Book Club is a proud member of the Batman Podcast Network, hosted by Batman on Film. Just go to batmanonfilm.com, click on podcasts, and you'll find the Batman Podcast Network that has a whole list of other Bat-related shows that also like to dive into other nerdy subjects that we all love to frolic about in our free time. Batman Book Club is also on Patreon. If you like what's going on with the show and you want to help support the show and keep the generators running in the Wayne Manor study, just go to patreon.com/thebatmanbc. And major shout out to Mitch Reisler, a name that was familiar last month. He submitted a bunch of questions. Well, he is also the latest member of the Patreon program. So, Mitch, thank you so much for your support. Every little bit helps keep this show running. And couldn't do it without you. So I appreciate it, Mitch. Thanks so much. And I actually asked him, you know, on that of like, hey, do you have any kind of shout outs that you'd like done? And he said, no, actually I don't have anything to plug, but I think if you could just plug my Hasbulla fan page. So
it's amazing. It's great. I like this guy already.
Okay.
Does he really have a Hasbulla fan page?
No, he does not. But I'm glad you had a reaction, Pete, because he actually asked, could you say that? And we'll see what Pete has to say. So now he's a little disappointed with good old Mitch.
I'm disappointed he does not have a Hasbulla fan page because I would have followed it and I would have liked a bunch of things. And
Pete was happy at first. Now he is sad. So the word is panic. So we'll be back with Mitch at the end of this episode. We'll bring him back up. But Mitch, thanks. Being a patron, patreon.com/thebatmanbc. Now,
I just want to know if Mitch is. Well, hold on. We're talking about this. There's more important things.
Okay. Peter Vera, everybody. Peter Vera. Yeah, hey, yeah, Pete.
I'm here.
Back
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm back. I don't frolic. Lauer's weird. Right. I want to know if Mitch is an actual Hasbulla fan. Like, I'm curious. I like meeting Hasbullies.
Hasbullies?
In the wild.
Yes.
Or Hasbullies. So if he's a fellow Hasbully, I want to know more about him.
Well, he's got.
I love hearing everyone's Hasbulla origin.
Ooh, there you go. Yeah. Maybe that'll be a shout out to you, Mitch, of like, hey, get back to us by next month, by Batman in April. And we'll see what
your Hasbulla origin story
is. Because Pete, you gotta know, he does pay attention. It's not like he listens to you. He must be a fan of yours. Otherwise he wouldn't care about anything you have to say, but he knows that Peter speaks Hasbullian.
I do.
He's part of the Hasbulli fan club. So
I'm part Dagestani.
Excellent. Pete, how are you?
Hasbulla
aside.
Hasbulla is just the Hasbulla side is fantastic. It's the Batman side, especially the Batman and Prince side that is it's not doing good.
Not doing good. Okay.
No, it's a negative.
But a major positive for you, peek behind the curtain. Peter Vera, baseball season is underway.
Yes. That is the most important thing right now.
That is Pete's jam. Out of any of the sports, baseball is your sport, right?
Number one? Oh, yeah.
Okay. Thought so.
And it's just great because I'm just going to keep Waito muted, not see any of his tweets about anything.
Go Twins.
Yeah. Well, it's mostly his Vikings tweets. Don't need to see those. He stays muted. So we'll just continue funneling the baseball stuff down the feed and ignoring the useless things.
Yankees are off the table. What team would it be awesome to see Hasbulla play for?
The San Francisco Giants. San Francisco Giants. So yeah.
All right. I like it. Cool. I decided to taking the Yankees off the table, cause that could almost be too easy of an answer for you since,
I know you're a Cubs fan, right? Are you excited?
Sure.
Wow.
I used to love baseball. I bled baseball growing up even through high school. And I played baseball. I loved baseball. Ooh. And then it just kind of seemed in college. I was able to watch the Cubs, when I moved to Chicago, I moved just like four blocks away from Wrigley Field. So that was always awesome. And just the past few years, like I tell you, marquee network, Cubs got their own network. They're a little harder to watch Cubs games.
Mm-hmm.
I don't follow it along that well anymore.
That's a bummer. That's sad.
Very sad, but I'll be okay. Speaking of sad, let's talk about Batman comics that came out in March.
Yeah, let's talk about crap.
Ripping up the Band-Aid. Batman 145, Dark Prisons, oh, Part 1. Written by Chip Zdarsky with art by Jorge Jimenez. Pete, you and I were on... We podcasted with Bill Ramey for Batman on Film Social Hour earlier this month. And we got to talk about this a bit. And I said there that I usually approach these Batman issues... Yeah, semi like positively, even if I can kind of say like they're not necessarily my thing. Not this issue. I think this issue kind of sucks. I'm over everything I think that Zdarsky's been building. I'm over it all. I think it's tired. It's starting to feel too repetitive. It's uninteresting. It sucks to like say that and be that way toward the Batman title outright, but it is at the point where I'm like, I don't like this at all. And I think the story is just like, it just feels very tired, and it's a robot Batman and it's an evil one with a terrible design. And the backup, which is written by Zdarsky with art from Michelle Bandini, never any complaints about the art, but it's just, That's like deep digging in more where Zdarsky's trying to connect pieces of Batman history, like other Batman stories, which feel very retroactive and don't feel genuine. And it's just like, I think from front to back, this issue, I did not enjoy it except for the art. I didn't like this, period.
Seems like you're I was about 5 issues ahead of you. That's kind of where I was 5 months ago. There's an interesting thing going on right now between Batman and Detective. Detective is kind of mirroring Morrison or revisiting Morrison's era or legends, let's say. And by the end of this issue, it seems like Zdarsky is leaning towards revisiting the Snyder stuff. Mm-hmm. Interesting. I mean, I like the Snyder stuff more than the Morrison stuff. I think the Zdarsky stuff is just as bad as the V stuff. I don't know what's going on in Batman. This robot thing, it looks like Batman 1939 mixed with Aang. It doesn't work. I'm with you, man. I haven't seen a Batman era this bad collectively ever in my life. Usually one title is not good. Ooh. The other one's fine. But Ooh. To have them both simultaneously suck is pretty impressive.
Well, and I have a hard time coming outright and saying that because like I always say, just because I don't enjoy something does not mean it sucks. Does not mean it's terrible. Doesn't mean that Zdarsky's not talented. Of course, obviously he's talented.
He's great.
Very good. He's a great writer.
Just not digging it.
Batman story that he is like churning. I'm just not on board anymore. I think it's just overdone. It's not interesting at all. And it's interesting. Like you bring up the Rom V stuff, which we'll get to in a little bit on Detective, but it's like both titles, legacy titles, are going to the Morrison well. And it's kind of like, but I don't think you need to go to the Morrison well. Like Morrison, as trippy as that stuff kind of was, like kind of closed the book, didn't need to revisit Zur-En-Arr. You just don't. And then for Rom V, he's revisiting like Dr. Hurt and shit. And that's like, yeah, you don't need to. Like, that's kind of done. Let it rest. Let it go. And specifically,
yeah, but at the same time, how many Joker stories do we have? You know, like, this is just what happens with characters. I think some characters are just tired and some aren't. Like, I'll be honest. I mean, you could throw Dr. Hurt up there with Thomas Wayne Batman and the Batman Who Laughs at this point. Like, I'm just like, seeing enough. Don't need it. I mean, that's just me personally, though. Like, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you. This is how I feel about Batman. If you were on the show, somebody else could probably, you know, spew their version of logic.
I'd be, yeah, I just like, and I don't know that I'm interested enough to have a conversation. So Batman RIP itself is interesting to have a conversation with for me because the story frustrates me. The ride up to RIP was a blast. Javi, he always likes to say that I hated it. Javi, no. I'm telling you. The ride up to RIP was a lot of fun. It was RIP that was frustrating. But talking with Javi on this show about RIP was like, it was a good conversation. Yeah, I don't know that I'd even want to talk about this. Like, I just don't, it's not interesting. I don't want to give my time to it because it's just not interesting. And that really sucks to say that about like, you know, a Batman story itself that has no end in sight.
That's the weird thing. It's just... Where I don't know where this is going. I don't know where he wants to go, but I just like, I'm just like, please, can this just end?
Yeah. Can this just be done? Sorry. Can this just be done? All right. Let's move on to the next one then.
What grade did you give this month's book? Just curiously.
Ooh, on Batman on film, I think I did a C-.
Okay. You're way more
and that generous feels, than I am. That feels almost like it's rude for Jorge Jimenez's art, but it's like, no, his art saves it from being a D-, you know, like his art is good.
He's the constant, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I guess it was during Tynan's run where like on Twitter, a few people come at me. I remember this. And they'll be like, you like everything. I can't read this. Blah, blah, blah. Like, I can't read your reviews. Blah, blah. I'm like, well, you should be reading them now. I like the Tynan run.
The Tynan era on Batman. I didn't enjoy, but this like goes to compliment what you were saying of like usually one of the titles, the Tynan on Batman, I wasn't enjoying, but Detective had Tomasi on, and then Tamaki, like Detective was a constant, like that was good. They were churning out good things twice a month in that title. So yeah, it's just I don't know. It's just a bummer.
At one point it was weekly.
Yeah, that's true. It was weekly. Let's move along then to the Batman Scooby-Doo Mysteries number 3. Pete, did you read this one?
I didn't get to it. I'm sorry.
You didn't get to it. Damn it. I don't know how much I should tell you though.
Enjoy it. No, just go. Just go. Stop.
All right. Well, we're going to spoil it. Well, obviously the cover itself is great. A nod to Batman 66. And then the Catwoman on the cover definitely looks animated series Catwoman. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
the
definitely.
Catwoman inside the book looks very Batman the Animated Series Catwoman. Fun story. Catwoman's a suspect of stealing things. Gordon wants to lock her up, and Batman says, I don't think it was her. Give me 24 hours. And so Batman and Mystery Inc. try to figure out who's been stealing stuff because it wasn't Catwoman. And it takes them to a place called the Iceberg Lounge.
Oh.
And Peter, look who's at the Iceberg Lounge.
Oh, look at his little chubby cheeks.
Animated Series Penguin.
That's my Ozzy.
Animated Series Penguin. And that was kind of why I tipped to you, like, Pete, I think this is worth your time to read.
All right, I'll have to retroactively go.
I'm going to spoil this. So fast forward 15 seconds, and now.
Now.
The person underneath the cat suit, Magpie.
Really? Yes. Oh, how's her hair?
She's a very controlled, contained Magpie.
That's not really Magpie.
But still fun that character
Magpie
is included here.
Almost needs to look like Cynthia from Rugrats.
That's true. Yes.
If you get that reference, you're an OG. Yeah.
Definitely. Fantastic. So yeah, this is another, much like last month's with Solomon Grundy was a fun one. This is also
that's two
a fun
I'll
one.
Have to pick up now. Look at me clicking.
Two in a row that you'll have, like, you'll just have fun with them. And they stand out a little bit more for other notable things that that they do in the book. This one written by Ivan Cohen, who I had on this show before. He's a very nice guy. Artwork by Dario Brizuela. Good stuff. Batman Scooby-Doo Mysteries. Number 3. Pete, also the first Tuesday of the month. I'll let you have a first crack at this one. Another Batman Black Label story. The Batman. First Night. Written by Dan Jurgens, or Jurgens, as Pete would say, and Mike Perkins on the art. Have at it, Pete.
Yeah, sorry, guys. I didn't like this. I did not enjoy the period piece setting. I don't like the design of the bat suit. can't stand these purple gloves. Yeah, I'm not vibing with this story. I'm not feeling it. I thought I was. Everyone was praising it on Twitter and in the Facebook group, and everyone was talking about how much they loved it, and it just didn't resonate.
Didn't work for you.
No. Yeah. I was surprised too, man. Like, I don't know. Seeing Batman in a chair, that was weird. I don't know. By book's end, you know, just kind of like, I don't know. I just didn't feel the hype. I didn't think it lived up to the hype, especially for Dan Jurgens.
This is, I think, book one of three, and I think it's going to be 3 months in a row. They're not going to do like an every other month sort of deal either. Mm-hmm. I loved it. Flat out loved it. I think Javi and Trey Jackson both wrote reviews on Batman on Film for it, both praising it. So, Pete, I don't want to put you on an island, but I think it gelled with everybody else more than you, and that's fine.
Yeah, okay. That's fine. I don't care.
Yeah, Pete can handle it. Okay,
I literally don't care.
He's got thick skin. Exactly that too. It's all you can handle. I don't care. I loved the time setting. I've always been interested in a contemporary story, but set in like that time period. I think that could be really cool. So there's nods throughout to hint that this is the time period that Jurgens fit in. Yeah, I think it's just like also an interesting story. Thing is, I meant to read this a second time before we talked about it, but just had no time. Because I read this the first time, but I really like the art. I like the style. I like Gregory Peck as Bruce Wayne. The purple gloves will always be, I'm with you always on that. Always have been of like, purple gloves.
I love purple.
I like the I do like the design of Batman. The cowl legs are a little cowl ears are a little long.
There legs.
Yeah, the legs. You know those legs on the cowl? They're a little long, but legs. It's just like a small nice. But overall, I think this is a good story and a good detective, you know, story. And I like that too of getting Batman down to, you know, he doesn't have the technology. It's, you know, it's the street smarts and the shadows that he has to play with in 1939. Cool. I think a cool first chapter of this story. So, for me, worth checking out. Oh, let's see. That does it for the first Tuesday. Let's hop into the second Tuesday of the month with Batman and Robin number 7. Mm-hmm. Peter Vera.
Take it away. I enjoyed this book for the most part. It's definitely more of a Robin book, I feel like, than a Batman book. I do think Batman, we've discussed this, Batman feels a little softer in this title than in most other titles. I don't know if that's the father-son aspect or what. But yeah, like I just, you know, while I'm known for not being a big fan of Damian, I do like the run Williamson has put Damian on. I've enjoyed that. I've read it from the beginning, through his Robin title, up into his Lazarus stuff and now through this title. So I've been digging it. I get all the references to the past and the girl and all that jazz. So, I don't think this issue was as tight or as clean as issues past. That's, I think, you know, I texted earlier in the month. I was like, this is a weird month for Batman books.
It's weird. Yeah. I know there's two that you'll be excited to talk about, but I think it's going to be a while. Well, no, we have one coming up really quick. No, for this issue, I thought it was just okay. Flatline, I don't know really anything about, but I know that's a Joshua Williamson carryover. Simone DeMeo's art in this, I thought was all right. There's like a glow with his stuff that's,
yeah,
sometimes it's cool, other times it's like, I don't know. I'll say almost like halfway through the book, though, there was something. Flatline talked to somebody, and that piqued my interest on how this is going to play out. And I think that was inserted at the right point in the issue, because it the issue up to that point for me was dragging, and I'm like, that bit popped out.
And that person has been involved in this whole like Williamson.
Yeah. Which I haven't read, but I at least know that much of like this character has been involved. So it kept me interested enough for the back half of the issue then to just be, you know, okay. I wasn't not that I was ready to write this off and be done with this book. But it did like, it was something for me to hold on to. So we'll see how that plays out next month. Overall, just okay for me. something that was very surprising to me.
I almost didn't read this because I was like, what is this? I was like, is this another Batman and Bigleby or whatever his name is?
Bigby. No, yeah. This is Batman and Dylan Dog.
Yeah, I was like, what is a Dylan Dog?
Where the hell did this come from?
I don't even know what this is. Apparently, this Dylan Dog is some sort of Italian comic book character, which I Googled.
So Batman Dylan Dog number one. I think this also is going to be a 3-book series. Story and script by Roberto Recchioni. Recchioni, R-E-C-C-H-I-O-N-I. Italian, like you said, I'm pretty sure.
Well, you don't have a problem with Italians, do you?
Never. And then art, Gigi Cavanaugho and Werther Delladera. Oh, man, I'm butchering all this. I'm sorry. This book was freaking fun.
Yeah, it was the surprise book of the month. I will say that. Like, I didn't expect anything coming out of it. And I was like, this is better than Detective and Batman, which, you know, everything it's compared to because those are the legacy titles. Yeah, I was really impressed. I was into it. I liked the dynamic between Batman and Dylan. I thought it's really weird that he's got a sidekick that looks just like Groucho Marx, but
that's intentional. His name's even Groucho.
Yeah, so it's all it's interesting stuff. It's a really cool detective story. It's basically I don't know. For me, it was like reading Batman with John Travolta from Saturday Night Live. Like that's the vibe I was getting from Dylan. I was just like, yeah, I could see this.
I can see it now. I just opened it.
He's like a much cooler version of Constantine, which is impressive because Constantine's pretty cool in his own right.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
The hair. He hit my hair. But yeah, like, you know, hey, look, if you can eat your pizzas two slices at once, you're pretty impressive. So we'll see. I don't know if Dylan Dog can do that, but I don't know. This book was nuts. It was just fun. It was it wasn't my thing, but I enjoyed it. I recommend anyone reading it.
Yeah. It was like a breeze of a read too. It's like 80 pages, but it's
kind of refreshing in a way.
Yeah, it was kind of like a nice like semi quick read.
Yeah.
Too. And I mean, it includes, I don't know how many of these characters are known in the Dylan Dog universe, but it includes
the DD-verse.
The DD-verse. It includes some good Batman ones. And some good RA Batmobile. That's a blend of the animated series and 89 Batmobiles, which I thought
that was cool. That was cool. Hey, McFarlane.
The color. The colors, like that was really good. The art was, it's just, a book that came out of nowhere, but it was a lot of fun. And I'll definitely make sure that, you know, we're talking about book number two.
Easily top three books this month. Easily.
Yeah. Just a lot of fun. Check it out. And the price tag, actually, I don't think was that bad either. I think it was maybe $4.99. And it's like, that's an 80 page book for $4.99. Usually you're spending $3.99 for a 20-page book. So the math is in your favor there. We're checking out wherever, if it comes to DC Universe Infinite Ultra next month. Yeah, look it up. You don't have to do any other kind of reading. You can just jump right in like Pete and I did, and works out okay. That's it for the second Tuesday. On to the third. The weird Batman month continues, Pete.
And the most controversial. Superman. Oh, okay. Okay.
Batman, Superman, World's Finest. Oh, okay. Yeah. I see now. I sent you the list. I just flipped them. But let's go ahead and do World's Finest number 25.
Follow the script. That's why we have a script.
Mark Wade, Steve wrote the whole thing. Steve Pugh did the first half art, and then Dan Mora did the back half. It's the oversized 25th issue, in which the first half of the story is Joker Luthor, world's vilest. And then the end was impossible prologue. Pete, have at it first.
I didn't like this one either. It was just too goofy. It was too...
Meh.
You know, like, I don't know. Joker just seemed a little too overboard on the 66. If that's the best way for me to put it, it's a little bit overboard. I didn't like the pairing of Joker and Lex. It didn't work for me. This book has been on a good run for me. I've enjoyed it up to this part for the most part, except for probably the first 3-4 issues. So it had a really good run, but I was not feeling this issue. Artwork's great. Dan Mora's always, I love Batmite. I love my imps. But yeah, like I just, it was a little underwhelming. But I again, like I'm excited to see where it goes because I the imps, that's the imps bring me back. I didn't really like the issue until the end.
There were moments that were all right throughout the whole issue. And then a lot of moments that were like, a lot more of those moments for the Joker, Lex story. Cause yeah, I'm with you on Joker just felt very like, I don't know, this doesn't gel. It's like trying to do 66 Super Friends and I don't know, animated series all in one or even something even more mature than animated series. I don't know. It was just a blend that just didn't flow. I didn't think so. Yeah. I didn't really care for it. I'm not a Batmite fan, but I didn't hate the prologue.
Get ready.
I know.
It's coming.
Yeah. The prologue took us into the Batcave, which I always like, but then it's a bunch of, I don't know, a bunch of monsters and they're not monsters, animals. And and then it leaves you on a cliffhanger of knowing it's Mr. Mixelspitlick.
I don't know. For me, this is great. Like, I know I love a champion grounded Batman, but there's something about Batmite that just brings out the fun in Batman comic. Like, that's if I'm gonna have fun with Batman comics, then I want Batmite involved. Because like when Lincoln comes out of the penny, I'm just like, oh, okay, I know this is we're doing.
Yes, you heard him right. When Lincoln comes out of the penny.
I'm just being honest. I'm like, I know where this is going and I'm very excited. And then I see his cute little bent ear and I'm just like, oh, there he is. There's my little limb.
Yeah, man.
So I'm excited. Yeah, I don't know. It's
I'm not writing it off like I'm gonna hate it or anything. It's just like, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. I love weird Batman characters like
that's true.
Like Harold too. So I'm excited for what the next issue has to offer. That is just like, man, Dan Moore draws a great Dick Grayson. I mean, it just like that panel right before you see Batmite for the first time, just all stoic and arms crossed, like in that classic yellow cape. Oh God. If you hate Robin, I don't know what the hell's wrong with you.
You haven't seen Dan Moore draw Robin.
Yeah. You haven't seen Dan Moore's Robin. I'll tell you that much. There's no pixie boots there.
Let's see the last one for that third week in March. Batman 89 Echoes number 2,
the most controversial Batman book ever printed, Batman or series at least. Batman 89.
I can't speak. Written by Sam Hamm with art by Joe Quinones. It has been 4 months since issue number 1.
Yeah, I had to catch up.
I have no idea what the reason for the delay was or anything. All I know is this is not for me. This is not what I expected after a 4-month delay. I was disappointed. I didn't really like this issue. Doesn't mean I'm going on cancel fest the rest of the way. This is one chapter of 6 after a promising chapter 1 that I really enjoyed.
Ooh. Ooh.
It's just, okay, there's been quite a gap here. I hope this, you know, picks up, it hooks me, it gets me back on board, and instead I felt very, very, very underwhelmed by the story by issue's end.
Yeah, I thought this issue was a bit sloppy.
Yep.
I definitely don't think this is I think Hamm had trouble putting this one together, if I had to guess. It seems like it's a bit choppy. I do like the fact that Keaton's Batman's going by other Batman aliases of actors past, right? Like I dig that. I see some good stuff in here and there's stuff that keeps me interesting, but it's not the Harley Quinn stuff. I thought was a little bit kind of convenient. I don't know. I thought it just didn't seem like it was real. It seemed like a bunch of ideas that just didn't really kind of flow together, but apart, maybe they're better. The sum is greater. How's that phrase go? I can't even think of it.
Sum is greater than its parts.
Yeah. Something like that.
I mean, I obviously noticed and applauded when Bruce ends up there at Arkham. Is it Arkham or Blackgate? See, I don't even remember. That it's a nod to One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest because you see your little Danny DeVito in there. You do see, I think, I forget the guy's name. Gosh, was he the in Returns, he was the one that had the like the machine gun, the rolling machine gun.
Oh, the
not the one
the
who
jukebox?
Runs the show.
Yeah, the jukebox.
Not you, Shrek. That guy kind of looked like him that showed up in there. And then also a Riddler that apparently resembled, you know, Martin Short.
Yep.
Was in there as well. And you know, that kind of stuff was, you know, kind of fun. But it doesn't take away the fact of like, let's just, I mean, I'll wait and see where this goes, where the story goes. It's just this issue, reading this issue this month, I was left very disappointed and not like psyched for the next issue.
I'm still excited for the story and where it'll go, but I was not into this issue. Yeah.
We got to look into Crane's Scarecrow suit, which Scarecrow always excites me. And the suit does not look like the current Scarecrow suit that Jorge Jimenez created for the Batman title. Thank the Lord. So that kind of stuff's like, okay, we'll see. But yeah, I mean, I've said enough. It's just, I didn't think it was that great or interesting, which is a bummer.
Yeah, I liked what Robin was doing. I like how Robin got in touch with Batman and stuff like that. I thought that part was really cool. But yeah, overall, it was a little underwhelming. But, you know, I'm not going to hate it.
The most controversial Batman book of all time.
There's no Tim Burton. This doesn't feel like a Tim Burton movie. That's because it's a comic book written by Sam Hamm.
So when you make comments like that, who are you? Who are you talking to?
Kowalski.
All right. That's what I thought. I want to make sure we're on the same page. let's see. Ooh, this is for you. And not ooh as in ooxus. This is ooh as in ugh. Last Tuesday of the month, Detective Comics number 1083, written by Ram V, art by Ricardo Federici and Stefano Raphael, and Dan Waters wrote it too. And
Pete. Oh, Dan Waters. Oh man. Oh, I wish you were Daniel Waters. Oh God. This book's absolutely insane in all the wrong ways. It's underwhelming. It's horribly written. It's just, I don't know what goes on. Dr. Hurt's having a fight club. Batman fights some other big Batman lookalike thing, I think in his own head. He fights a wolf man at some point. And then Batman and Bart Batto sit under the nice tree and they talk about their lives together inside the same room. That's Detective Comics. Oh, and Batman came back from his mental breakdown and now he's back in Gotham. The question was taking care of Gotham while Batman was gone. And that's it. So that's the sum of Batman. And Paul Harmon loves this. This is Paul Harmon's favorite Batman story of all time. He likes it more than Batman Year One and The Long Halloween. And
didn't know that about Paul.
Yeah. He also hates The Thing.
Oh. I almost texted you as soon as I was done reading this and saying, Pete, I don't know what the hell any of this meant.
It's the most pretentious. It's pretentious. Like, this makes Morrison look like he wasn't like this makes Morrison know. Look like he was like tripping on Tylenol, not LSD.
I don't know. It's just, I'm so far beyond like over this story as well that it's just, I don't know. I like you just said, like your summary is spot on. So if somebody be like, oh, Pete, you know, Pete's just laughing. He's just making funnies about it. It's like, no, it is. It's like Batman and Barbados sit underneath a tree and have a discussion. Talk about lives. What the shit? Like, what the shit is that?
Therapy session. It's dumb. I went from Dr. Chase Meridian to this monster thing, giving Batman therapy.
And yeah, like you said, and he's got a fight club, which I don't even know that's real. And then somebody can say like, oh, Ryan, you just didn't get it. It's like, maybe I didn't get it. But that's because many issues ago, I gave up trying to understand it because I didn't think it worked. And I still don't think that it works. So now it's out of obligation rather than interest to continue reading the story. I don't like
that's exactly
it. I think it's
what
bad.
It is. That's exactly what it is.
It's bad. I don't like it at all. I do, except for the art. Which I will always say.
I hate that phrase. I've been saying that phrase for like a year.
Yeah, you've been saying it for too long. And comics do need to have good art to sell. But I'm not buying this. So I don't enjoy it, period. And that's not, again, say if that doesn't mean that I don't think Ron B is talented, because he's obviously very talented. He is a good writer. He's written good stories. Pete and I have constantly talked about his Aquaman Black Label story with art by Christian Ward. That was pretty awesome. We both have it. Great read.
Great.
Good times. Pete's read his Catwoman. I haven't read his Swamp Thing, but I want to. This is just isn't for me. I'm done with his detective run. By all accounts, there should be 6 months left, which really stinks that that's like, by the end of 2024, Pete, we'll have somebody new attached to Detective. We got to wait that long.
But, at least they're not doing it like twice a month. It's so much easier to read something I don't like once a month than it is twice.
Yeah, but it'd be over faster. But oh well. I don't know. Paul Herman's crazy. Let's talk about something
insane.
Else.
I think he's absolutely insane.
Let's talk about Batman Dark Age Book One.
Mm-hmm.
I loved this. Loved it. Loved it. And there's not more even much Batman. Sticks? Yes, the food, fish sticks.
Yeah,
I did love this more than fish sticks, the food. Anybody that follows the show knows the last episode I had the honor of having the writer of this, Mark Russell, on to talk about the series and what's possibly upcoming and characters that are popping up later on and like the basically the journey that we need to be ready for Bruce. Batman is coming. There's not much Batman in this book. I get that. When I pick up a Batman comic, I want to read Batman. I understand that this is chapter one of six. And this was really good. It was interesting to me. I like the references dropped throughout the first issue, like fun nods to other Batman stuff. I enjoyed the fact of in a lot of Batman stories, and I do like this in Batman stories, period, is, you know, little Bruce sees his parents murdered. He takes his vow. And then we jump to Bruce, you know, getting the suit and cowl and stuff like that. A quick montage maybe of training. And then he's suited up. I like that. This follows his teenage bratty years and what is understandable for somebody in that situation who inherits this money, who has nobody there to put boundaries around him and like the traps he could fall into and the things he could do. And I actually like that. And I think that helps set the stage for his path to Batman and when he's Batman and, you know, informs him and his personality as Batman. So, I mean, I can revisit this and like in what I'm saying now in a few months when more issues are out and underway. But that's why I really enjoyed the story of like, and it's very interesting to me of where it was going to go. And then Michael Allred did the art on this with Laura Allred as the colorist. And I thought the book looks fantastic. It looks like in Superman Space Age, which I brought up quite a bit, because it kind of feels like it is a, you know, almost like a sequel. It's not a sequel. But the team does plan on doing a trilogy in a sense, and they want like in hoping to do a Wonder Woman story, with this team and stuff. So, Batman Dark Age Book One, I don't know. I had a blast with it. I thought it was really good. I'm excited for the next book.
I did not enjoy this book.
Yeah,
I didn't like how the False Face Society was portrayed. I don't like what they did with Roman Sionis either, or the characterization of young Bruce Wayne. I don't like any of this, really. Yeah. Allred's art is fantastic. I loved mm-hmm. his art. Going back to his run with Slott on Silver Surfer, that's when I first discovered him, and I really like his work around the eyes really stands out to me because he uses very thick lines.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of emotion conveyed through the eyes, especially in older Bruce Wayne. Like when he's looking at his photographs of him and Alfred, like specifically the memory board page, there's a lot of emotion in the face of Bruce Wayne as he's trying to remember. And that was conveyed through the page to me visually, not really through the words. I give a lot of credit to Aldred. I don't know, like, at certain points, this looked like a really weird take on the 66 cowl. I'm just not feeling the art. I appreciate a good milk ad, but and Batman kicking a villain through it, that's cool to me. But yeah, I don't know if I'm into this type of vibe for the story. This seems a little bit weird. I don't really dig the futuristic aspect of it. We'll see where it goes. The Selina Kyle stuff was really good,
mm-hmm.
but I'm just kind of like, I don't really enjoy dickish Bruce Wayne. I kind of I always, when I think of, now this is just my personal thing, like when I think of Batman after his parents' murder, it's literally tunnel vision mission, A to B, that's it. There's nothing else like that, you know, like this, it seems he's got to get himself there. But I always kind of envision Bruce Wayne really being a little bit more focused, even at his youth. But, you know, interesting enough, just wasn't feeling it though. Like, yeah, it's kind of weird. Everything with Wayne Enterprises seemed funky.
And I'm with you on my preference being that as well, of like tunnel vision and stuff too. This one worked for me, but like I said, it's chapter one of six. I'll evaluate as more issues come along and if my opinion changes, or because what happens down the road on this could affect my opinion of this one. Like maybe if it doesn't go certain routes or doesn't affect later issues, then I could come back and be like, you know what? I thought it was gonna, but apparently it's not. I just feel like it definitely is going to. But
the slow burn.
At this point, I haven't read a ton of opinions about this issue. I just know yours. I talked to Bill. I think Bill's similar to you with it. So I'm just curious to hear what people have to say about it.
Well, I'll tell you what, me and Bill see differently on the Jurgens.
blues and purples.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. He's more of a purple guy, I'm more of a blue guy.
Oh, let's see. What else we got for that month? Oh, you can go first on this one. Batman, the Brave and the Bold, number 11. We've got Batman Mother's Day Part 2, written and drawn by Carl Kerschel. And then, what's the one at the end? The Crown of 12 Tales, black and white story at the end, written by Zach Thompson, art by Ashley Wood. Take it away, Pete.
I'm into this story. Look, I'm a Robin guy. Everyone knows I love Robin. I think Mia is a fantastic Robin. This book sees Bruce Wayne getting it in. This book has Robin and getting it in. So this is probably my favorite book of the month. Right? Let's be honest. But
I don't know that he got it in.
He's gonna get Robin a little bit of a block there, but Robin, you know, that's what Robin does, keeps him focused on the mission.
True.
That's right, take that, Patrick Johnson. But anyway, what was I saying? This story was fun. I like it. Again, I still think the book is a huge ripoff because I think I don't think any other story in the book is worth my time, to be honest. And I do enjoy Artemis as a character, but yeah, like this is cool. It involves Man-Bat. I enjoy Batman kind of being like, oh, is Mia ready? Is she not ready? Like, I kind of enjoyed the whole recruitment process and training process and, you know, Batman figuring out if he's picked a good Robin. Like, I think that's cool. Some people won't enjoy that. I will. But yeah, I'm actually excited to see where this one goes. It's interesting. It's different. I mean, I know there's the weird thing with a snake lady and vampires. So like, it's a little funky, but that's kind of really at the end of the story. So like everything up into that is really, I think, really good Batman.
I think this is fun. I don't love it, but I don't have anything negative either. It's like, it's just, it's fun.
And compared to what we've read this month, this seems like so much. I'm sorry. It's above and beyond better than a lot of the books that I've read this month.
Mia is very likable from the start. I said that last month I was unfamiliar with her character. So I have nothing to base her on except for this book. But, you know, somebody wanting to be a Robin can be quickly an eye roll kind of moment. But she actually, like, she's fun. She works. I don't feel like this is a new standard. It's like, no, this is a, you know, 4-part story, maybe 6-part story with her where she's dressing up as Robin. And that's going to probably be it, but she's fun and she's likable. And I think, you know, Batman's kind of fun and likable. He's also a little, yet again, a little softer around the edges, Batman, which is kind of like, eh, but it's kind of not as like noticeable or eye rolly as in Batman and Robin to me. And the Man-Bat stuff it's okay, but it's not like detracting. I think, this is a blue Batman, right? This is not a black 100%. Batman. And I like the suit, even with the coloring. Good. I think it looks good. I'll keep reading this for sure. Kind of interesting what happens to Bruce when he does go to the rich person hideout. And then, yeah, like you said, a snake woman, which that was like, whoa, hey.
Yeah.
Man bats are one thing. Snake woman's a totally different beast.
No way.
That's a different beast. As far as the black and white story, I thought that was a really cool story. I thought the atmosphere was pretty awesome. I know you haven't been high up on like any of
these black
and
white
stories.
Since really like volume, like what, two or three of black and white, not been a fan of them in general.
Yeah, I thought it was fun. I really liked the atmosphere of it. I thought it was kind of cool and using a little bit lesser known, like the Rat Catcher, and the Zodiac Master. Like those, I don't know, those to me were kind of fun, and it was, you know, dipping into kind of like a cult. It wasn't supernatural, really or anything. So I thought it was cool. It was a plus for me. And Peter, I think that does it for the Batman comics, which now
you know. Now Batman. We begin the Holzman Love Fest.
No, that's been postponed. this instead is going to be talking about our next segment.
Batman! Defense!
Justice League versus Godzilla versus Kong. Number 6, Brian Buccellato, Kristen Christian D. I thought this was fun. I mean, kind of continuing on the big, like, monster-ish kind of battles and fights that we were building up toward, you know, and everything. And I don't know, it's kind of like a summer blockbustery. Big action beat downs and Guy Gardner. He gets, I am messed up today, Pete. I can't talk, can't think. He gets stomped.
Shucka Kowalski.
he gets punished for his haircut, finally.
And he actually has a normal haircut here.
I know. That's why he got stomped. It's like, bring back the bull cart.
But like, we're not gonna have Batman punch you in the face. We're gonna have Godzilla step on you.
This is like fun. I don't know that I would in the end ask like tell anybody you need to go out of your way and find this and read it. It's just like because it's convenient for us to read and review. That's why I'm reading it. I think. It is just like a harmless, fun book.
Okay. I was a big fan of this book. I still think overall it's really good. I think this issue took a dip. I think it's a little, even for this title, it seemed to be a bit far out there. Like everything kind of seemed to just kind of, oh, okay, this is a little convenient. So that was my problem. It was just kind of just a little too much, a little too comic booky, if you want to say that. It could compare
convenient.
To
the man with the S. That's what just popped in my mind that you when you just said too convenient because it was just like this and all of a sudden it's like wait what
here I am round two I'm like all right here we go again
okay sure
that also seemed like it's like unprovoked violence I'm Superman like okay
yeah
right. It seems a little out of character
sure
Wado would appreciate that so it's been one of the better team ups I've read recently. But this issue took a step back. But I still am a fan of the series and look forward to seeing how it plays out.
Yeah,
but it wasn't my thing.
I'm with you.
You are. Are you really?
I am. Yeah, look at us.
Okay. Oh, look at friends.
Anybody
quail eggs?
Nightwing 112, written by Tom Taylor with art by Michael W. Conrad. The backup story is written by Sammy Basri with art by Francesca Francavilla.
Mm-hmm.
Main story, Pete, I want you to have first grabs because you got me hooked on this last month.
Yeah, just some more fantastic Batman and sidekick action here in Nightwing. Grayson and Batman are going looking for this kid with the bad uncle. Lots of great moments, lots of good Batman moments. Fantastic.
Maybe the
Nightwing
worst
moments.
Uncle of all time.
In
the running.
Possibly, very possibly. My favorite uncle is Uncle Sam, but that's neither here nor there. But didn't read the backup. Don't like the backup. Don't like these prehistoric period pieces or whatever they are. I don't know what this thing is. I don't like it. But the primary story was fantastic. It's everything that makes Dick Grayson fantastic and amazing. And again, for all you Robin haters, maybe you should pick up the last two issues of Nightwing and just take a look at the greatest sidekick of all time.
I wouldn't disagree with that.
You can't.
I can't think of another sidekick. Dick Grayson Robin is the greatest sidekick of all time.
Easily.
And I mean, Taylor does a great job in the training sequence in the Batcave, you know, of like their exchange and Bruce's internal dialogue and everything. I think is excellent. And then Nightwing gets to basically, because this is his book, so as he should, he kind of takes the lead on going after this terrible uncle. There's a little bit of tying into the, you know, was it Beast World? Is that what it's called? Their little event?
Or... Yeah, I didn't read that though.
I didn't either. So the little conversation that happens at Titan's Tower with that is very kind of meh, whatever. But the rest
it's
of the
a good
stuff,
Batman moment.
It's great. Yeah, Batman has a good spot in there. But yeah, overall, I think this is another good, really good issue. Two issue arc story, if you will. But yeah, what a really good two issues this was. Worth seeking out. It won't take up much of your time, but you'll, as a Batman fan, as a Dick Grayson fan, I think you won't regret it at all. Two good issues. And then the backup story for this, love the art. Because I've said on here many times, Frank Avila's art, I love his art. I'm a big fan of his art. The story overall, though, is very, It's Gray's son. So then you get it? Gray's son! And I don't know. It kind of went over my head on what
like the Gray Son of Gotham.
What even? That? Yeah, it's like okay, whatever. So meh on the backup, but then finally, Pete, your man,
the greatest comic of the last 20 years,
Oswald Cobblepot,
the Penguin.
I feel disrespectful if I go first, so go ahead. This is your boy.
Yeah, this is great. This is like, oh man, just watching. Oswald deal with people is always fascinating. His attitude, it's just, and watching him deal with the Riddler, whether they're civilians or criminals or even Batman. This whole book is about interactions. And that's what I really found fascinating, is you see basically a day in the life of Oswald and the company he keeps and the people he interacts with. And It really bookends with a cool like GCPD crime scene, and then you kind of like, and then you realize like, Oswald Cobblepot, you're a cold son of a bitch.
Yeah,
and I love every page of it. This is some of Tom King's finest work. This is absolutely brilliant. I think it was you who told me. I think you spoke to him, and he was like, I don't know anybody who's really excited for this Penguin book. Or whatever. Didn't he say something like that to you in your podcast or something? And I was like, man, I'm pumped for it. I'll tell you what, we need more like this.
Yeah,
we need Tom King back, because that was last time Batman was good. I mean, I'll take anybody, but like Tom King knows what he's doing. He knows Batman.
Yeah.
He knows the world of Batman. There are very few misses when it comes to Tom King and Batman for me.
My man.
Yeah, I just. Man, this is fantastic stuff.
I'd like to check in with him to just kind of see too, of like, so initially right before this book launched, and I'd asked him, you know, is this ongoing or does it have a certain amount of issues? And he said ongoing. And I'm really curious of like, is that still the plan, or is there, you know, an issue end date in sight? Like he's working more towards something or what?
It's kind of an old school approach, honestly, because you're tying in a comic with an upcoming show, right? Like the book has a 8-month lead, but like it's going to be going on simultaneously. It just seems like it's something they would do with a movie, right? Like, oh, the movie's coming up, let's do a tie-in book or whatever. Yeah. Like even though it's not a true tie-in, it's getting the character out there, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But I'm with you overall of like, this is another great issue. Last month might have been my favorite issue of the series yet. I'm not exactly sure, but art this month changed to Rafael De La Torre. Great art here too. Fits really well. So there's been three different artists so far on 8 issues, but it's not such a drastic jump that it's bothersome. Totally works.
It doesn't matter. King can literally just write a book and I'd be captivated by it. Like honestly.
So this is a great.
No disrespect to any of the artists, but it's just his writing and characterization of Penguin is absolutely brilliant. It's just magnificent. I'm just, oh God, if you're not reading this book, what the hell is wrong with you? I just, that's it. That's all I got for you.
The issues so far, you know, are on DC Universe Infinite. The first collection of this is going to be out in paperback, is scheduled for June. And I'm looking right now just to see.
Where's my hardcover?
How many pages? I know. Collects pages number or issues number 1 through 6. It's paperback, not hardcover. That's kind of a bummer because I want hardcover. But yeah, if you're waiting for physical stuff, you don't want to buy back issues. Like soon, the first 6 issues, which are great, are be out collected. So worth tracking down. This series definitely is. That's it for me on Batman and Friends. Pete, what do you have?
I picked up issue 38 of Harley Quinn. I really dig this. It kind of feels a little Amanda Connery. Howard has kind of lost me over the past few months with Harley. She's back in the new suit, her old suit, which is her new suit. Mr. Freeze is involved. There's the backup story is a lot of fun. Kite Man is in it. A lot of hijinks. That's pretty cool. Catwoman 53 is really interesting because it's vintage Catwoman. She's underwater, though. She's stealing things from it's not Atlantis, but it's a cool side story. But it's the whole like supernatural cat sphinx thing where she like has 9 lives is still really weird to me. I don't like that, but I like the mission Catwoman's on. Like that whole objective is a lot of fun. But the whole 9 lives aspect of it kind of makes me just kind of look like that's just very interesting take. That again is done by that's Teeny Howard as well.
4, 5, still alive.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. And the Secret Origin of Pamela Isley, issue 20 of Poison Ivy, really great stuff. Willow Wilson is just crushing it. We see Ivy's love interest, Jason Woodrue, just really fantastic stuff. You see the dark side of science, I guess, just in Ivy's early years. So you see how she kind of became who she was. New origin, and I don't think a bad one either. You know, sometimes these new origins can not work out, but when you got someone who writes like Wilson, she rarely misses. So,
yeah, nice. There you go, comics and Pete. Now, you know, I have 2 questions for you.
Yes, you've got a question.
Question number 1
is Elvis, and have you spoken with him lately?
Oh, okay. We'll put that in your pocket. Let's save that for another time.
Yeah,
what was your favorite issue?
You don't get that reference, huh?
Well, okay. No. Wow. Who is your daddy? What does he do?
Someone didn't like Ghostbusters. Wow. Favorite issue? You know what? It's Batman Dylan Dog.
Whoa!
Because normally it would probably be Penguin, but it's Batman Dylan Dog because the quality of Batman books this month has been so bad that when I get one that's actually good from front to back cover, I'm going to really enjoy it. And it's weird that I'm doing that, but that's where I stand. Like Batman's been so bad this month that this was, let's celebrate the best title that he had this month.
You got to be true to yourself. I was tempted between this book and Batman Dark Age. But I got to give the edge to the Batman First Night. Like I said, I loved it. I really look forward to reading it again before book 2 comes out here in just like in a couple weeks. It was just a really cool Black Label story. So in its own thing, telling its own story, and there weren't robots, so that was kind of cool.
You mean Batman's not fighting his mental breakdown?
No, he's not. He's kind of got it together for as much as
he's fighting a villain.
So yeah, that was my favorite. Now, second, we said this last month. We also said earlier that we'd be revisiting old Mitch Reisler, because he sent in a bunch of questions, and I said, Pete, how about we do this and do it over multiple episodes over the past or over a series of months. Pete, there's a question I want to ask you. Let's see. This is question number 2 of 9 that Mitch sent in. Why are you into Batman? Pete, let's let people into the mind of the Vera. Why are you into Batman?
It all started with 89, really. That was like my first real glimpse of Batman. That's what got me hooked. It was that Batmobile, Danny Elfman's score. That's what really got me into Batman as a kid. What has kept me into Batman as an adult, his various adventures. It's kind of why I like comic book characters in general. I don't think there are good people. I think everyone's out for themselves, and to have someone literally put on a mask and you know, put their life on the line for you, with no recognition, no pay, no nothing. That's kind of noble for me. And that's kind of why I like superheroes in general. Yeah, nice. So I would say that's pretty much the reason.
Nice answer. I've asked my parents multiple times. They do not remember the moment that I became obsessed with Batman. There is evidence of me being a Ninja Turtles fan prior to me seeing evidence of a Batman fan, but my earliest memory of Batman is knowing that they had the 89 movie playing on, you know, broadcast TV, and it was my bedtime and the parade was starting and I didn't want to go to bed because the movie's not over and this is such a great, like, I was really excited, but too bad, it's bedtime. That's like the earliest memory I can remember, is that, as well as holding that VHS tape with the
how much did you hate your mother after she made you go to bed?
I think we had a babysitter at that moment. So it was the babysitter that received the hate, not either of my parents.
Wow. So they lucked out.
Yeah. So
you could have hated your parents for years. They never let me finish 89.
I didn't finish 89.
I hate my mom so much.
But I think it was like a mix of that. And then, like I said, I've said on here before, my uncle gave me a stack of Batman comics. He initially tried me into Spider-Man, but I wanted Batman. And then from what I can remember, it was like a 1-2 punch. I was already interested in Batman, and then animated series and returns hitting it for me at about the same time. So it was just between that 89-92 period, like an influx of things. And from there on, I don't know, he took over. So for that, I can't sit there and think of like why, but I think I just thought like nighttime, serious. He's a badass, like, and
he's got a car.
He's got a car, a Batcave. But the
and he's got his best friend. He works with his best friend, Robin.
I think. I mean, it's a cliched thing, but because he's human, you know, like, and he's
got tons of money.
It's like a little. It's grounded. Like that's what always draws me to Batman. It's the grounded Batman stuff. That's my preference. That's my favorite. That's where I think he's the best and he's most relatable. So. It's the grounded stories and then the rogues gallery. I love the whole like good guy versus bad guy. I think when it comes down to it, give me an actual villain, and Batman fighting that villain. And then it's like fun to watch. And stuff.
I love old school comic books. Hero has a city to protect against the crime of that. Like that's I love those comics. Like those are some of my favorite comics. Even Green Lantern just patrolling Coast City, and all Carol Farrell's tries to do is
lacking analyzation. You know, it's like, we don't have to analyze everything. Sometimes a guy's just a dick, like, and not Dick Grayson, but he's an asshole. And Batman's just going to go take down that asshole because he's an asshole. That's all I need. I'm good with that. So there you go. I hope that answered your question, Mitch.
You better answer my Hasbulla question.
Yeah, we'll have a follow-up with that next month, so stick around. A couple episodes from now we'll figure out the Hasbulla origin. And yeah, we've got some more questions that'll be coming.
What is your Hasbulla origin?
The gif of him with the big boxing gloves and he's like, that's my Hasbulla origin. I saw that gif a lot and I didn't know who this guy was. And then all of a sudden, Pete's getting tattoos of him and just hashtagging and then putting cardboard cutouts in his car and on his porch and air fresheners in his vehicle, on his air conditioner also.
In my vehicle, not in my apartment.
Okay. It's just that. Then, yeah, there you go. There's my Hasbulla origin.
Okay. Well.
All right. Okay. More to come. Pete, thanks again as we... I said last month marked our 3 years of doing these wrap ups. So now we're on year 4.
Wow.
Here we go. The worst year yet of Batman. I'm just kidding.
That's what it feels like.
Thanks for doing all the work. Pete does the work. We say this all the time. Pete does the work. Thanks for coming back on. Why don't you tell some people about yourself and your boss?
Yes. You can follow me on social media at Pete Illustrated on Instagram and Twitter. You could follow the podcast that I co-host with my boss, Eric Holzman.
There you go.
At @straight_o_g, Straight Outta Gotham, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook group, and fan page. Check that out. If you like Spider-Man, check out at Spidey Coalition. I do a podcast on Spider-Man covering various sources of Spider-Man media, print, animation, movies, all that jazz. The Italian Spider-Man Coalition, BatmanOnFilm.com, Batman on Film YouTube, Batman on Film Podcasts. I've got some Batman on Film podcasts out. Check those out. You probably already have. If you're listening to this show, chances are you found us through that. So, BOF all the way. Ryan Lauer, take it away.
Hey, hey, there we go.
Hey. Straight out of gut. Whoa. With Eric Holzman and his assistant, Peter Arvera.
You know, I like to make up songs about Holzman in my spare time.
Yeah, worth listening to the show just for that. Because Eric blushes. You can feel him blushing through the audio. As for the Batman Book Club, follow on Twitter/X and Instagram at the Batman BC. Latest episode drops, upcoming episodes, sometimes even some giveaways. Right now, that's where all of this bracket voting is happening right now. So check that out and cast a vote. Find out the greatest Batman cover. It's a lot of fun every year. This year is no different. It's been fun so far. Make sure you subscribe to the Batman Book Club YouTube channel. Pete and I are going to be there again. It's going to happen. It's happened.
We'll get it in.
We're going to No Man's Land. We're getting it. If you want to support the show, variety of ways that you can do that. Patreon.com/TheBatmanBC, tpublic.com, and type in TBBC for the Batman Book Club. But if you want to support the show and you don't want to spend any money at all, it's 100% A-OK. Just go to rate and review page of whichever podcast outlet you listen to your podcast. Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Google Play, iHeartRadio. Just go to the rate and review page.
Uxus Play.
Uxus Play. Yeah, it's a new one added. Uxus Play. Big turnout there. Yeah. Just go to the rate and review page and rate and review this show, because the more reviews this show gets, the more it helps spread the word. And as we all know,
that word is panic.
Panic.
So for Peter R. Vera, the Frolicker, I am Ryan Lauer. And until next time,
remember my memories.